What do you do if you're walking along and you see a bear? We're going to find out today. Welcome to Glacier Bay National Park. I'm Elizabeth Harriman.
And I'm Paul Lasley, and we're going to give you a behind-the-scenes look at Glacier Bay National Park. Now, you might not encounter a bear on the deck of your Holland America cruise ship, but if you were walking along the beach out there, you just might. So get your binoculars ready. We're going to go bear watching here in Glacier Bay National Park.
Yes, this segment is called Bears on the Beach. That could even be a movie, couldn't it? A movie of the week. Bears on the Beach. Okay, here we go. We're talking with Tanya Lewis. She's a wildlife biologist here in Glacier Bay National Park, and she has a really unique specialty that I think a lot of people are probably envious about. Tanya studies the bears of Glacier Bay. Tanya, what an amazing focus.
Yes, I feel very fortunate to study bears here in Glacier Bay, where they are wild and mostly non-hunted, and because of the beach opportunities, the viewing opportunities on the beach, we get to see them a lot from the water, and people really enjoy getting that opportunity.
Is it true that here in Glacier Bay, it's almost ideal for the cruise ship passengers because the bears are mostly along the shore because it's just easier to travel along the shore?
Yeah, that's part of it. The corridor, the beach is definitely a corridor for bears. In the upper part of the West Arm, if you look at a satellite photo, you see that it's mostly rock and ice behind the beach. So the beach meadows are probably the most productive areas for bears in the summer, and including up the slopes. There's a lot of berry bushes and little pockets of food on the slopes. So the upper West Arm of Glacier Bay is excellent bear viewing from ships, including cruise ships.
Tell us a little bit about the whole process of a bear's life here at Glacier Bay, because it's quite different than we might assume. They're not just roaming the forest and they have little dens and things like that. It's a tough life for a bear.
I think it is pretty tough, especially in the upper parts of Glacier Bay proper. There are some really rich forested areas in Glacier Bay National Park as well. The areas between Glacier Bay and Dundas Bay and out to the outer coast, the Gulf of Alaska, is incredibly forested and really rich bear habitat. So depending on where a bear is, their life is either really hard or probably quite easy. We don't capture bears here in Glacier Bay. We never have. So we don't know to what extent they move around. I am trying to get at that with some genetic studies that I'm working on now. But we do believe that bears, especially in Glacier Bay proper, because of the lower habitat quality and the amount of rock and ice, we believe they move a lot. They have to keep moving for their food. And in fact, most of the time when you see a bear on the beach in Glacier Bay, it's walking. It's moving somewhere, eating sometimes while it walks, but it's usually traveling.
What do they find to eat here in Glacier Bay?
Well, in the spring, they usually start with grass. Rye grass is all over the bay. There's pockets of sedge, which is very good spring food for bears. And they start eating green vegetation, certain plants. I have a list of about 20 or 30 plants that they eat, and it's on our website. And they follow those greens back up the slope as the snow retreats. So they'll usually start on the beach and then work their way up again and then come back to those beach meadows when certain plants mature. Right now they're eating a lot of cow parsnip and angelica, which are very tall, big plants on the beach in a lot of beaches of Glacier Bay. Then, starting already, there's strawberries. That's a big food for bears in Glacier Bay. And then we have soapberries on a lot of the shoreline and up the mountains. And some blueberries, especially in the lower bay, and as well as some parts of the upper bay. And opportunistically, they will scavenge carcasses of any sort. And they also spend a lot of time in the intertidal zone at low tide, eating barnacles, mussels, and you'll see them flipping over rocks sometimes for little eel-like fish called blennies. They're also called gunnels. There's a couple different species of those types of fish. And I suspect they eat pretty much anything crawling under the rock that they flip.
They have quite a life cycle because the cubs are born while the bear is asleep or hibernating in a snow den high up on the mountains. And then they emerge with their mother in the spring. and start learning and growing very rapidly because they have to get ready for another winter.
That's correct. Yep. They have to grow very quickly. And it's interesting here, we don't start to see cubs of the year, meaning they're cubs in their first year of life. We don't tend to start to see them on the beach until later in the summer. So we're not sure where the moms hang out with their young cubs, but maybe for safety reasons or mobility reasons, they stay more in the high country with their cubs until they're a little bit older. But people are starting to see cubs of the year now in July. And yeah, they'll grow pretty quick. Although sometimes in the Upper West Arm again, we see pretty small 1 and 2 year olds. Take some while to get the calories they need to grow. Mm-hmm. And in general, I think Glacier Bay bears, brown bears in particular, are smaller than coastal areas where there's more salmon resources.
Okay, that brings us to an obvious question. Brown bears and black bears. But sometimes it's hard to distinguish. Brown bears have a whole range of colors, from gold to bluish white, right?
Well, and it turns out that even black bears have different colors. You have to be someone with the expertise of Tanya Lewis to spot what kind of bear that is quickly, I guess. That's the great thing about having binoculars, standing on the deck of the Holland America ships and watching the shoreline. You will see bears here in Glacier Bay. If you don't, well, it might be a rare day, but there are almost always bears on the beach here.
And best to see them from a cruise ship. Well, so how do you distinguish between black bears and brown bears?
Well, black bears have a blue phase here in this area known as glacier bear or blue bear phase, and they can also be black or cinnamon colored. And brown bears, which is the same as a grizzly bear, same species, brown bears here go from blonde to dark, dark brown. I've never actually seen a black one, but other places in coastal brown bear country, there are black brown bears. Mm. So the names of the bears are confusing.
Mm. Aha! But if you're bear spotting, it's important to know things other than color, right? Which brings us to the shape of the head, which I understand is another determinant. Is that right?
Yeah, the whole shape of the head and body, you can determine a black from a brown bear. Black bears, well, they tend to be smaller, and they have less of a shoulder hump because they don't dig as much, so they don't have developed shoulder muscles. And their faces they have a pointier snout, and if you see a profile, it's a straight profile, known as a Roman profile, and usually larger, pointier ears. Brown bears have smaller ears. They're tucked closer to their head. And if you see a profile, you'll see they have a curved facial profile, usually a large shoulder hump from digging, longer claws, and just tend to be bigger.
Okay, Tanya. So if you see a bear, let's say you're in Bartlett Cove for the day, and you see a bear, what should you do?
Well, it's important to determine what that bear's up to. If you see it at a distance and it's feeding or traveling, going about its business, then the best thing to do is just back away. You can watch it, but try to stay out of its way and not interfere with it. If the bear is coming towards you, you might determine if the bear is just trying to pass by or if it's actually curious and wanting to check you out. And that is the time when a bear is approaching you with curiosity and a direct approach that you want to start to yell and bang stuff together, group up, get all your gear with you, and make sure that you let that bear know that you're not something to be messed with. Now, another third kind of encounter that is not as common here, but in other parts of Alaska, is a surprise encounter where you and the bear suddenly encounter each other. In that case, you want to talk calmly to the bear, let the bear know you're not a threat, because the bear could become defensive and view you as a threat. And most actual maulings in Alaska occur with a brown bear that has been surprised or is defending cubs or a carcass. That rarely happens here.
A comforting thought, but the other thing is to just be aware of your surroundings, and if you are hiking in and around Glacier Bay, which most cruise ship passengers are not going to be doing, know those basic rules and you're going to be fine, because actually bear attacks are extremely rare.
That's correct, yeah, and prevention is the key to it. We always tell people to make noise when they're walking through brush or areas where there's limited hearing, where a bear wouldn't be able to hear you, and pay attention to what's going on. We don't advise jogging in the backcountry with headphones on.
Probably not a good idea in cities either, actually, when you think about it. Tanya, you've been studying bears here for some time. You're out among them all the time, aren't you?
Yeah, I see them a lot from the boats, and I actually encounter them on shore surprisingly little, I think because bears are so aware of people and generally move off, that I come upon them once in a while, but not too often, and when I do, it's almost always a great encounter.
What's the most fascinating aspect of studying bears for you? Because you've obviously been doing it for a while, and you have a greater knowledge than just about anybody I've ever come across. This is your chosen profession. Are there some aspects of bears that perhaps we ought to know about, but maybe we don't?
Well, it's really fascinating how much vegetation they eat. I think a lot of people view bears as predators, which they can be, and scavengers they can be, but they really eat a lot of plants. And to see a brown bear or a black bear grazing in a meadow, like kind of like a cow, you know, they're for hours, is really fascinating. And I look at scat a lot to determine what they've been eating, and I'm always astounded by, I still find new food items in their scat regularly, and they're very, very creative and have a high level of ingenuity in discovering new foods and using what's available to them. Another really interesting aspect for me right now is bear rub trees and their marking, and it's not known to what extent or why exactly they mark trees and also trails, but it's believed to be a communication, a way of communicating with other bears, and it's especially exciting for me because right now I'm collecting bear hair for genetic studies, and so I find these bear rub trees and collect hair and visit them repeatedly to see how many bears have been in the area and the genetic relatedness of bears in certain areas with other areas in the park. And it's just fascinating to me why they use these trees and where the trees are in relation to food and trails and their habitat and their landscape movements. And it's a big question mark all over the world.
And bears are always surprising. I found it surprising that bears are almost on sheer rock faces climbing. You always think of them as meadows, I guess, or forests. But here in Glacier Bay, you might literally see them on the side of a cliff that you say, how did that bear ever get there?
Yeah, they're incredibly good climbers. There was a tour boat a few years ago that saw one on the face of Marjorie Glacier. And the glacier was calving, and the bear was trying to figure out what to do. I think it was trying to get down to the water, but it was literally on the glacier face over the water.
Well, bears are always surprising. And Tanya, I imagine your life here in Glacier Bay National Park is surprising. No 2 days the same. Tanya, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome. Thank you. Have a good trip.
Thank you for joining us in Glacier Bay National Park. This recording is a copyright production of Holland America Line and is made possible through the cooperation of the rangers and scientists who work and study in Glacier Bay National Park.